About 3 weeks ago, I went up to the Anglican Church to a little meeting called the Order of St. Luke's. And the Order of St. Luke is a ministry in the Anglican Church mainly, but it's interdenominational, that focuses on the whole area of the healing ministry of Jesus. And I just want to read you out this testimony that I heard 3 weeks ago. I asked the pastor, a retired vicar called Bruce Postlethwaite, who came to our training last Saturday, to write it out for me. So here it goes. I was a vicar of a small Anglican parish in Auckland, and a female school teacher had moved into our street and began attending our Sunday services. One Sunday, this lady asked me if I could help her elderly friend who lived in a neighborhood suburb who was suffering from schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is a debilitating mental health problem whereby the sufferer constantly hears voices speaking to them. In this case, the voice was that of a male that she had known many, many years ago from an abusive relationship. On arriving at the home of Mrs. S, we were warmly welcomed and we had a brief conversation regarding her health problem. I explained the nature of the ministry of anointing and healing, and with her permission, the time of ministry began. With the anointing of oil, the laying on of hands and prayer, there was an observable, strong physical presence, including a change in breathing patterns and trembling. Mrs. S. had never been to church before. I started to visit her every fortnight for a period of about 3 months. Each time we anointed her and there was a similar physical response. After the second time, she began to tell me her adult life story. She'd been a dancer in her younger years. She was very attractive. She was talented, a musician and an artist. At some point in her life, she began to spend a considerable time overseas pursuing and developing her artistic abilities. It was during that time that a relationship developed with a man who became part of her life. Eventually, the relationship deteriorated significantly to the point where they parted ways. This was not an amicable parting and became what now we understand as being unacceptably abusive. The then Mrs. S. suffered badly over the time, and on her return to New Zealand, these voices began, and eventually the diagnosis of schizophrenia was actually made for her. Over the next few months, each time with the anointing and laying on of hands with prayer, Mrs. S. began to say that the voices were becoming softer, and she was hearing them less and less. Mrs. S. began attending church on Sunday mornings on a regular basis. There was always ministry of anointing with prayer for healing at the altar after communion. And this is the bit I love. One Sunday morning, Mrs. S. told me that the voices had stopped completely and her doctor was going to trial her without the usual medication. Shortly after this, during a closing worship song, which is a very lively version of a well-known hymn, which is extraordinary for the Anglican Church. Mrs. S. stood up from her pew and began dancing in the aisles with enthusiasm and great joy. The rest of the congregation all stood up, which is incredible in an Anglican church, and joined in the dance for a few minutes. There was absolute chaos. The joy in the church was absolutely overwhelming and totally spontaneous as the spirit of joy swept through the building. To my knowledge, Mrs. S. has remained in good health and free from voices that had dominated her life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today, Daniel read a story from Luke's Gospel about a paralyzed man who was healed of his paralysis and forgiven of his sins through the faith of the people that bought him. We read that Jesus, when he saw their faith, when he saw the faith of the people that brought the paralytic, and I guess it was the faith of that woman who asked the vicar to go and visit this woman, which was so important. Now, last week we had John Ferguson here, who was reminding us of the power of God to heal the sick and to forgive our sins. And I just wonder, if you just want to indicate with your hand, if you were in any way touched or healed or just touched by his visit last week. I don't have any hands. Anybody that was touched or healed in any way? Any responses there? One? Thank you. Thanks, Kirsty. Yeah? Good. And Kirsty, you were in the evening service, weren't you? Yeah. Awesome. You know, when God's moving in power, people's lives are touched and can be changed. We're doing this series on the Psalms. Psalms in the key of life. And today we heard Psalm 103 read to us. This is a psalm of terrific praise and thanksgiving. Now, King David and all the people of Israel experienced, like us, lots of struggles in life. Will you put up your hand if you've never experienced a struggle in your life? Will you put your hand up if you have experienced some sort of struggle in your life? Okay, struggles. People experience sickness and disease. People experience temptation and falling into sin. People experience oppression of different types. It may be physical oppression or bullying. It might be satanic oppression. It can be a real thing for a Christian. Some people experience rejection. Some people can experience spiritual dryness in their life. You know that Madame Teresa, for much of her life, experienced spiritual dryness, yet she was still ministering to all these people on the streets. But in all of these situations, David and Israel were very clear that there is a God who cares, there is a God who heals, there is a God who delivers people from destruction. I would like us to read these verses from Psalm 103 together. How about we just read? Let's go for it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Isn't that beautiful? Those would be five verses that would be well worth learning if you don't know them. You know, I often found that little phrase where it says, forget not all his benefits, is a key part of living the life of a Christian. Sometimes when you're not feeling so great and things aren't going so well, we need to remember all of God's benefits, all of the benefits that he's given us in the past. We need to remember them. We need to speak them out loud and say, Lord, thank you. I was in a shop yesterday talking to a shop owner, and he was thinking of moving. And I was able to tell him a wonderful testimony where God actually literally shifted us from house to here. When we were told our house in Whanganui would never sell, blah, 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 and it sold just like that. It was a miracle sale, and I was able to share that. And that was us walking home and thinking, that's one of God's benefits. Think of God's benefits. And when we do that, it lifts our spirit and brings us into a place of faith. There are four basic things in this psalm which I want to touch on. The first thing is, the psalmist declares clearly what God is like. There are many character traits that the psalmist declares. God is abounding in mercy. He's full of grace, who doesn't treat us as we actually deserve. He's full of loving kindness. He's just and righteous, and he's slow to anger. Then he wraps it all up in this beautiful phrase, and brings the image of God as a loving father. And he says this, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. God is a loving heavenly father. He's the perfect father. Now, for some people, I know that the picture of a father is not a helpful one, especially those who've been abused, abandoned, or absent from father love and missed out on what they should have received from their father. Some children only received it when they achieved something. But the fact remains, although our fathers are not perfect, God, our Heavenly Father, is perfect. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to reveal to us what the Father really is like. This is what he said. He said, "He who believes in me believes in the one who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. Just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So if you're here today and you find the image of God as a loving Father a difficult one because of your own experience, here are a couple of suggestions for you. The first thing is you need to always acknowledge the pain. You need to acknowledge the suffering that you suffer. Don't bury it. You need to get it out. You need to acknowledge it. You need to bring it forth. You need to lament. You need to cry. You need to weep. You need to let it out. If there's one thing we're learning about the Psalms, is the psalmist let his feelings out. And until those feelings are brought out, there cannot be any healing. So you need to acknowledge that. And then what you need to do is, as you've been forgiven as a Christian, you need to forgive your father. You just need to forgive him. Even if he's dead, you need to forgive him. Because if you don't, he'll remain in your head and in your heart, and you're the only one that's being damaged, no one else. So you need to forgive. And I found that the biggest blockage to healing is unforgiveness. Not necessarily the unforgiveness of a father, but it's a strong one. But unforgiveness is the biggest blockage to healing. It really is. The second thing you need to do is, after you've lamented, you've had time to lament, to forgive, this is what you need to do. You need to, by faith, receive from your Heavenly Father his love, his mercy, his kindness, and the Holy Spirit will pour into your life that which you have lost. He'll just pour it in. Because healing is not just the physical healing, it's the inside of us that needs to be healed. The Father is just waiting for you. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for people to come to him. He really is. The second thing in this psalm is the psalmist talks about how God actually acts. The psalmist tells us that he forgives sins, he heals sicknesses, he redeems people from destruction, he crowns people with loving kindness, he satisfies us with good things. That's the Father. But I just want to talk about two. I want to reinforce what John was speaking on last week. First of all, he's a forgiver of sins. See, the Pharisees, where Daniel read to us just now, when Jesus said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," the Pharisees said, "Who can forgive sins but God?" And there they had God standing right in front of them and they couldn't see it. All the sin, all the bad stuff in our lives actually deserves punishment. Ooh. Otherwise, chaos rules. If sin isn't punished, chaos rules. So, for example, if somebody steals something from your house or something from your car, or whatever, it's right that they should go to court and they should be sentenced and they should be given a punishment, isn't it? Who'd agree with that? Yeah, that's right, isn't it? It's the same with your children. When your children disobey their parents, it's right that their parents should punish them in some way. Because if you don't actually love your children. because you're not setting them boundaries, you're not teaching them. And this is the life that we live. And so, in the Old Testament time, what used to happen was that God instituted a system of animal sacrifices where sins could be dealt with. No wonder the psalmist said, "He's not dealt with us according to our sins or punished us according to our iniquities." So what you would do is you would take a lamb or a goat or a bull if you were very, very wealthy, and you'd go to the temple, and the animal would be sacrificed, and your sins would be prayed into the animal, and the animal became the scapegoat. Now, those of you who support the RSPCA and all that sort of thing, you know, and love animals, you know, God loves animals too, but for some reason God instituted this system of animal sacrifice.